And Paul stopped through Lystra, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and ended up in Ephesus. Recall that? Paul's first missionary journey. And who did he find in Lystra? He found Timothy, didn't he? Paul, on his first missionary journey, had stopped by, and it says that Paul stopped at Lystra, and he established a church there, and he appointed elders. What else do we know about the city of Lystra? Obviously, it's Timothy's home, right? Do we have any history of this this city? You recall somebody was had his cripple feet from birth, and Paul sensed that he had faith in healing. You recall that? I was in the city of Lystra.
It wasn't just a Jewish city, because Timothy's father was Greek, or at least he wasn't a Hebrew.
Okay. So Paul finds Timothy in the city of Lystra. That's question number two. How old do you think Timothy was in this when Paul ran into him in Lystra? This was on the second missionary journey. We know that he was there and established a church. We know that he appointed elders there before he went on. We also know that Paul, when he visited Lystra the first time, was stoned. Remember that? They tried to run him out of town. They stoned him. Where a week before, they were thrilled to death to have him, weren't they? But it was a city that was in Turkey, current-day Turkey, but in Asia Minor. And it was also a city of many gods. But it did have a Jewish synagogue there. And this is where Paul runs into Timothy. Was Timothy a wild person, out of control type person? How did Paul find him in Lystra? Young disciple, is that what he said? A young disciple?
He was taught by his grandmother and mother all that he needed to know to be a faithful Jew at the time.
Okay, he was taught by his grandmother and his mother. That's one of the questions coming up also. You're getting better.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. Timothy must have been quite a nice young man, because he was well spoken, well known in Lystra. And it says he was well known in Iconium as well, which was another city about 20 miles south of Lystra. So he, I don't know if he had a business, or he accompanied his father, or different exactly what, but he was well known in both places. Is it possible? Now, I know we only have one mention in Acts 16 about Paul seeing Timothy. Now, he was a disciple. There was an established church there. Do you think that this was Paul's first contact with Timothy? Now, he had been there in the first missionary journey. Some time had passed. When he came back through there the second time, he found a young disciple named Timothy, who had any mention that Paul knew him before? Mom?
Not necessarily, but he came looking for Timothy, because it says he wanted this man to go with him, so he must have known him pretty well if he wanted him to go with him.
Yeah. I think he probably had a contact with Timothy when he first came to Lystra. It doesn't mention that by name or anything like that, but Timothy was, and even though he was raised up from his birth by his mother and his grandmother, and who taught him? Gerald?
His mother and his grandmother.
You remember their names?
Eunice and Lois.
Lois?
It's my memory.
Okay. Which one was his grandmother?
Eunice.
Lois.
Lois. Oh, well.
Just thought I'd throw that in there. But it also mentioned that his father was a Greek. Why did Paul mention that? So his mother or his grandmother must have been Jewish people.
Well, he wasn't circumcised because of his father and the belief, I guess. So
okay,
that comes into play later.
So what did that have to do with it? So he's raised up as a Jew.
As a Jew, you can't go then, into the temple unless you're circumcised.
Okay. But, okay, so what else do we know? Anybody?
He's going to become a preacher, and Paul tells him to be strong in what he's been taught and to not let them intimidate him because he's young.
Okay. We find that that's because of his youth.
Yeah.
And Paul talks about that in the first chapter, doesn't he? Which we'll get into next week. I think maybe Lois was Jewish, although the Eunice and Lois are not, they're not Jewish names, are they? They're Greek names, and yet one of them was a Jewess. And go ahead.
Would they be part of what they called the Hellenistic Jews then? Because they had Greek names? Maybe.
Yeah, possible. Possible. But how many times are these this mother and grandmother mentioned in the Bible?
Once, because I didn't know much about Timothy, so I googled him. It's terrible, but it said in there that that he was with his grandmother and his grandmother during the healing of a crippled man.
Yeah, by name, and I should have prefaced that statement by a question by name. How many times have they mentioned by name?
Yeah. Once.
One time? Okay. Now we find that these two women were really great in the faith. And had a great influence on Timothy's life, too. Became a disciple. It lasted, that influence lasted all of Timothy's life, didn't it? And as we read about the man Timothy, find that he was a man of great faith all of his life. And really satisfied Paul's great expectations of this young man. But you know, it's really one of life's greatest blessings to have a godly mother. And do we see this today?
We see some godly men.
Some godly mother. But sadly, I was kind of interested when I was looking at this. I looked at the percentages that we refer to as motherhood. Sadly, you know, it's declined to a great deal, hasn't it? It's interesting that 1950, 12% of women were preschoolers. Worked outside the home. 12%. In about 30 years, over 50% were working mothers that had preschoolers. By 1987, and that's only 2 years later, it was over 50% were working before the child was 1 year old. So what kind of effect does that have on godly mothers or on raising a godly child? Has to have a definite. What do you see today? You see a decline in church membership, a decline in people who profess a belief in the Lord. And it's not only in congregations like ours, but it's in churches everywhere. All denominations are feeling the pinch that people are going astray and going out of their life, and the Lord is not in the first place anymore. Yes.
It doesn't mean that the godly mother doesn't still do all that she can, but because she's working, the child is now influenced by people who are not as godly as she is. And so it's not the difference is her, it's the difference in how the children are being raised.
Yeah. And well, you see a lot of single parent households anymore. So that has a great effect on them. They put them out there in a toddler school or a preschool, daycare and that type of thing, and you leave them at the mercy of those people there, don't you? And so this would have a great effect on how your child is brought up. There's a lot of people that are doing homeschooling now. I don't want the effect of secular schools to have an influence on them anymore. And so they teach them at home a greater deal, but those are schools, secular schools, that type of thing. You can see what's happening in them now, what kind of effect that their exposure to that kind of teaching is having, what kind of effect it's having on them. So it's really a sad state of affairs that, you know, so many are having to farm out their kids in places that they don't necessarily need to be. Paul wanted to take Timothy on his journey. Now, we know that this is written somewhere around 64, 65 AD, this letter to Timothy. Where is Paul? Where did he write this letter from? Anybody know?
He's just gotten freed from jail.
I'm sorry?
Didn't he just get freed from jail? And so that's when he wrote his first letter to Timothy?
I don't recall. He was in Macedonia when he wrote this letter. Paul was swear, or Timothy was swear when he received this letter? He was in Ephesus. He was preaching there. Remember, Paul left and went to Macedonia, and he left Timothy behind. Now, when he first met Timothy on his second missionary journey, we're looking at a time period of about 56-57 AD. And so when Paul writes this letter to Timothy, it's about 8 to 9, 10 years later. And Timothy is a well-established preacher there in Ephesus. But he was having problems there. And so as we'll find as we go into the first chapter of Timothy, what Paul is, what kind of encouragement that Paul is giving. And I think when Paul left and went to Macedonia, he left Timothy there for a reason. They had elders, they had an established congregation. They had elders there, but they were having problems, weren't they? And he left Timothy there, but he wanted to encourage Timothy because to stand fast in the faith, even though you're young, don't let them be writing about your age. So he's still quite a young man. Timothy's father, spoken of as a Greek. Do we know anything else about him? Now Paul wanted to take Timothy with him, didn't he? And he did. So we don't know whether or not his father was there living in the household with his mother. We don't know if he was traveling and not present at the time when Paul asked for Timothy to go with him. But he must have been an amicable husband because he allowed this to happen. And so Timothy was taken on this perilous journey with Paul. Why did Paul have Timothy circumcised? Here he was, part Greek, lived in a Greek city. But Paul had him circumcised. Remember what happened in Acts 15 after the first missionary journey was over? Paul had constant problems plaguing them with Jews coming in behind him, causing riots, causing upset citizens. What were they preaching? Were they not preaching, you've got to be circumcised in order to be saved? Remember that? They were just really creating turmoil after Paul had gone into these cities and established churches. Where did Paul go when he first hit a city?
Synagogue.
He was in synagogue, didn't he? Yeah. Why didn't he go there? So he had religious people there. He had people that knew the Old Testament. They were Jewish.
To the Jew first. And
right down his alley.
Big message to the Jew first and then the Gentile.
I'm sorry?
He took the message to the Jew first and then the Gentile.
Okay.
Until after churches were established.
Okay. What happened in Acts 15? After the first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas went back to Jerusalem. Okay. Why did they go back there? What kind of problem did they have that took them back to Jerusalem? They wanted to discuss this problem of circumcision. about having to be circumcised in order to be saved? Yes.
That there were people who were out there who were saying you had to be circumcised.
He went
back to verify. They went back to verify.
Well, they went back. I don't know. I think Paul didn't have any questions when he went back to Jerusalem, but they went and made this problem at the feet of the apostles, didn't they? They're in Jerusalem. And they talked about this at length. And so you find problem solved? No, not really. But the apostles came together and they all agreed that circumcision was not necessary in order to be saved. And yet this problem still plagued Paul and his party, even down the road, that people coming back in, Judaizing, and trying to tell them that they don't, if they don't believe in the Old Testament, and follow, then they're going to have, not going to be saved. So Timothy was well known in that area. This wasn't. He was well thought of. So, and his father was a Greek, but Paul had taken him and had some circumcision. Why did he do that?
Ron?
Yeah.
Was it to keep the peace?
I'm sorry?
To keep the peace.
Okay.
He couldn't enter the temple if he had Jewish background, could he? If he wasn't circumcised, and that's where he went to teach.
Yeah, there were a lot of Jews in the area, but there were a lot of Jews where Paul was going as well. And to alleviate the problem, he just kind of solved the problem before the problem came up, as far as Timothy being circumcised or not. But Timothy is an interesting young man. This first letter that we have, we're going to be spending some time in studying this first chapter. We probably won't get through it all, but we'll give it a shot and see what happens. There are some next week's lesson over there in the back of the room. Please check one up, and I made it easy. I'm going to give you 5 questions. Anyway, that's really all I have today.